Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 17. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, of course last week because of the weather, we felt like it was best that we didn't try to get out last week in the weather, and certainly there's not anything we can do about the weather, but we're glad to be here this Sunday. But a couple of weeks ago, and we've been spending a lot of time in the Gospel of Matthew over the last year, and back and forwards on Wednesday night, sometimes on Sunday night, sometimes on Sunday morning. But a couple of weeks ago, we preached out of Matthew 16 and talking about taking up our cross and certainly starting out the new year, taking on the responsibility of each of us bearing our cross. And as I considered it and thought about it and prayed about it, I felt like the Lord directed my heart back here to Matthew chapter number 17. And of course, we're seeing the progression, if you will, of the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And certainly we know that he's headed toward Calvary, and he is trying to relay that message to his disciples that certainly are talking about the cross. And then we find in today's scripture this morning that he's going to be transfigured before them. And the Lord began to speak to my heart certainly about these verses of scripture. And I pray this morning that we'll consider them, and I consider our own heart and our own life. If you do not know Christ, has already been said today, I pray before you leave here that you would truly trust him as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you're here today not where you need to be as far as your relationship concerning him this morning, then I pray that God would speak to your heart as well. But I thought about this thought out of chapter number 17. I'm going to read, if you will, the first seven verses this morning. For the sake of time, you could read down through verse 13. It all kind of ties together with the thought here, but I'm just going to read the first seven verses. But I'm going to back up in chapter number 16 and read verse number 28 because these tie together this morning. But the thought for today would simply be this, some private time with Jesus. Some private time with Jesus. You're going to find here that Peter, James, and John are going to be summoned to go up into the mountain here with the Lord Jesus and spend some private time with him. And you know, I realized this morning as we consider the text and the scriptures that this morning, of course, Jesus was physically there before them. But I'm glad today that we're serving a risen Savior. And he wants you and I to spend some private time with him. Well, that being said this morning, if you find your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand this morning, and if you're not, that's okay. Now, you'll find this text also in the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 9, also in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 9 as well. But notice again now in verse number 28 of chapter number 16, verily, Jesus speaking here, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now again, he's relaying that message to his disciples. And then we start in chapter number 7 in verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, now notice that his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, notice in verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto him, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. Now notice this, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then notice this next statement, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And then verse 7 says, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for this Lord's Day that we have the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come back to your house this morning and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the teaching this morning of the Word of God. Thank you for the wonderful singing, the testimonies. Thank you for the reading of your precious Word. I pray, Father, as your servant, that you would anoint me right now once again with fresh oil. I pray you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. I pray this morning you'd place upon my heart, my mind, Lord, those things that need to be said now from these thoughts this morning. And then, Father, I pray that, God, we would heed, Lord, that we would hear, and, Father, we would heed the thoughts, Lord, that you have for us here in this service this morning. Lord, I pray most of all for someone here today, Lord, they've never trusted you as Savior. I pray that, God, this would be the good day, Lord, they come and trust you as their personal Lord and Savior. Someone cold, indifferent, somebody out of the will of God, somebody who's not as close, Lord, as they need to be this morning or would like to be. I just pray that you'd speak to all of us, Lord, through the preaching of thy word. Then, Lord, I pray we'd be obedient, submissive unto the word of God and to the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. We sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. Bless our time now together around the word of God. And, Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments this morning, again, with this thought in mind, some private time with Jesus. I begin to look at it and consider it. I want to give you just a few things this morning. I'm going to try to draw them right out of the verses of Scripture today and pray that there'll be a blessing and a hope and a challenge unto our hearts. As I thought about it, we see Peter now and James and John got to experience something that the other disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ did not get to experience. So we ask the question, why? A lot of times we look at things in the Scriptures and we begin to say, now, I wonder why it was just Peter and James and John that got to experience what the other disciples did not get to experience. Well, this morning, in all honesty, I really don't know that we have a direct answer other than these. I believe these three men seem to have a greater desire to know him and walk closer with him. And so we see this morning again, because of that, or the probability of that cause, that they got to witness and experience what some of the rest did not. They were considered, as we know, as you study the Scriptures, to be in his inner circle. They seemed to be the ones that Jesus leaned upon, and they leaned upon him. And so from this text, let us consider this special private time and consider our own desire to spend time with the Lord Jesus. And you say, well, preacher, he's not physically here like he was in their day. And certainly I understand that this morning. But yet in our relationship with him, you and I should have the same kind of desire that these three men had to want to have some special time with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we should want to read our Bibles. We should want to pray and meditate upon the goodness and the greatness and the gift of our Savior today. You know, he's been good to all of us here this morning. And he wants that special relationship with each and every one of us. And that's the wonderful thing about it. Each of us today, if we so desire, can have that special relationship and that special time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should desire that. But I'm afraid so many people today seem to be satisfied with just coming to church once in a while, praying just when it felt like it's needed, reading the Scriptures just when it's convenient, or whatever the situation might be. But friend, we'll never grow in our relationship with him and never get to experience maybe some of the special things that he wants to do in our lives if we do not spend some special a time with him. Now I want to give you just a couple of three things from this text this morning that I pray that we will consider as we consider some special time with the Savior or with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now number one, I thought about this as you consider these verses of Scripture today. Number one, I see a private invitation. And we use that word invitation rather frequently, because all through the Scriptures we find that God is always asking and inviting men, women, boys, and girls to come to Him, whether it be for salvation, whether it be to serve Him, whether it be something special, or to spend that special time with Him. We find the invitation given throughout the Scriptures, and thank God for those invitations. And friend, we ought not to take that for granted today, that a holy God would invite somebody like me and invite somebody like you into a relationship with Him today, and not only a salvation relationship, but friend, to know Him better and to walk closer to Him and to be more like Him. And that should be our desire today. But I see a private, if you will, invitation. This invitation was not given to the other disciples. It was given unto Peter and James and John. Now think about that again as we try to consider why. Again, I believe it's because of their desire to know Him better, to walk closer to Him. And so we find that this is Jesus' inner circle. And so I want to be a part of that, don't you? Amen. Each of us should desire to have that close walk and relationship with Him. You'll find as you study the Scriptures this morning, you'll find that there's three different times, or at least three different times, that we find that it's just Jesus and Peter and James and John. Now, one is this text before us this morning, as Jesus, I've already been talking about the cross and going to the cross, and certainly the disciples in their own heart and mind could not get a hold of that, could not grasp what was going to take place. And friend, I can't grasp what took place there at Calvary, but I'm so thankful that He was willing to go and certainly lay down His life that we can know Him today in a free pardon of sin. So we see that relationship here. Also, the story this morning about the healing of Jairus' daughter, you'll find it was Jesus and Peter and James and John. And then you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and you'll find there, as Jesus was praying, we'll find that within that inner circle, it was Peter and James and John. And so this morning, that was a special relationship that Jesus had with these three men. And as we think about this private invitation, as I said this morning, there is still that invitation to salvation. There's that invitation to serve. And then there's that invitation this morning, again, to draw closer unto Him. Notice in that invitation, first of all, there seems to be no pause or hesitation to follow. Amen. There seems to be no pause or hesitation of these three men going with Jesus up into the mountain. Notice back in our text this morning in verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart. There seems to be no pause or hesitation. They just followed Jesus. Could I say this morning, we'll be a lot better off in our life. Thank God when Jesus gives unto us a private invitation. If you and I would just simply have enough faith in Him and trust Him enough this morning just to follow Him wherever He would lead us to go. They didn't question. They didn't say, well, why did you not ask the rest of them? Listen, this was some private time that these three men were going to get to experience with the Lord Jesus. And could I say this morning, I still believe that same invitation is extended to us this morning to go have some private time, a private place with the Savior. And we should desire that. Why? Because He's our Savior. Because He's the one that loved us and died for us. He's the one that wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's the one that gives us our hope. He's the one that gives us our peace. He's the one that gives us our joy. He's the one that gives us our direction. He's the one, thank God, that can help us when it seems like nothing else can help. He's the one that encourages us when we're discouraged. He's the one that when we're down, He lifts us up. He's the one this morning. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one today, my friend. This there's a private invitation. And there could very well be some folks here today that the Holy Spirit of God, through the same person of the Lord Jesus Christ, comes and gives you a private invitation to do something in your heart and in your life. But there always seems to be, on my part, a pause and a hesitation. Why is that, preacher? Maybe it's because I don't trust him like I should. Maybe it's because I'm not listening to him like I should. Maybe it's because, Lord, I've got this. And some of you have sat here this morning thinking you've got this. And friend, you don't have it this morning. You can't make it without him. You can't survive without him. You can't grow without him. You can't prosper spiritually without him. You can't be who you need to be without him. You can't be the Christian. You can't be the husband. You can't be the wife. You can't be the mom. You can't be the dad. You can't be the person in society that you need to be without him today, my friend. Notice there is a private invitation that's given to Peter, James, and John. Now, in this private invitation, again, we see no pause or hesitation. We see not only is there no pause, but we see that it's a private place. That it's a private place. It says, into a high mountain, a place of solitude, if you will, a place of no distractions. Some of you distracted right now. Oh, my. See, maybe Jesus needs to get Peter, James, and John. He's trying to get them to understand that I'm getting ready to go to the cross. And not only am I getting ready to go to the cross, I'm getting ready to pay your sin debt. I'm getting ready to rise again so that I can be your all in all, so that I can be your Savior. Thank God he's got to get them in a private place. Sometimes I find that my best, listen, I love coming together as God's people, and we're supposed to and we should, and thank God that's a special time. And some of you even take that for granted. But friend, there is nothing no more special when you get that private invitation to steal away somewhere, hallelujah, in a solitude place, in a place where there's no distractions, where there's nothing to hinder. I'm telling you, and just get along with the Savior and spend some time with him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there needs to be a private place in this hectic world in which we live this morning. We're living in a hectic world. Would you agree with me? Where there's so many distractions and so many things to take our minds. Now, think about this. These boys are going to get to experience something the rest of them don't get to be a part of. You say, preacher, what are you? I'm saying God's got something special for you. You mean, preacher, God has something special for me? Absolutely. I believe he has something special for all of us. What is that scripture? Be still and know that I am God. Our problem in this hectic world today, friend, is we won't get still long enough. Huh? Preacher, you've been guilty more times than I want to count. Sometimes he's got to get to those places of stillness, those places of solitude, those places where there's no... Listen, if you're trying to seek the will of God for your life, get somewhere alone with God and find out what God wants for you. There's a place of solitude. Notice this morning, in this private invitation, that there's no pause or hesitation to follow him. It's a private place. A place of solitude, a place of no distractions. But then I thought about this. It's a place of prayer. You say, preacher, how do you know that? If you'll go to the Gospel of Luke and chapter number 9 and verse number 28 lets us know that Jesus himself has went up into this mountain to pray. What's he teaching his disciples? That they need to do the same.
People running around like chickens with their heads cut off and don't know what they're going to do next and discouraged and down and out. And praise God, just get along somewhere and begin to pray. And you know what? God will show up every time. Somebody here this morning is needing this. Probably the most of us need it today if we'd just be honest before God. Because all of us here today need to grow in our relationship. And we need to get to the place this morning in our relationship with Him today. Thank God that we just keep on keeping on for the glory of God, regardless of what's going on around us. So how are we going to get to that place, preacher? Well, there's going to have to be some private time with the Savior. So first of all, today in the text, I see a private invitation. Secondly, this morning, I see a powerful illumination. Now, this didn't happen at the foot of the mountain. This didn't happen climbing the mountain. This happened when they got into that place of solitude, that place of no distractions, that place of prayer. There was a power of illumination. You say, preacher, what in the world's that got to do with us? Well, let's think about it for just a few moments. We'll see now as they got up into that mountain, and as Luke lets us know, they're praying, and then something wonderful happens. Jesus is transfigured before these three men. Y'all not hearing me this morning. A powerful illumination. Again, Jesus was transfigured right before their very eyes. In other words today, I want you to get, if you don't get another thing, I want you to get this. They saw Him like nobody else got to see Him. Are you with me? They got to see Jesus like nobody else got to saw Him. Everybody saw Him in His humanity. And even through the performing of the miracles and all the wonderful things that Jesus done, all they could see was the humanity. These three men got to see Him in His glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that excites me a little bit. That they got to see, thank God, something else. The rest of them didn't get to see. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I want to see something that nobody else is getting to see. What are you saying, preacher? I want to go with my life spiritually and some places that other people seem to have no desire to want to go. I want to see Him in all of His glory. By faith. Now, we don't see Him by sight. And we under. But aren't you glad you can get a few glimpses of His glory once in a while? Hallelujah. I mean, He just comes by once in a while. And a lot of times it'll be in that place of solitude. It'll be in that place of quietness. It'll be in that place of no distractions. That the Holy Ghost of God will come by and bless your heart and show you something. Thank God that nobody else is seeing at that particular time. It's like when you open up this book and you read it. You'll read over it. Really don't see much there. And then you read it again. And then you read it again. You get someplace to a place of solitude and quietness and notice, and you begin to meditate on it. Boy, that thing begins to come alive to you. Boy, God begins to shine the spotlight on it and the spotlight on your life and begins to show you things about Him that you had never saw before. Listen to me. Thank God we have a God that still gives powerful illumination to those that's willing to seek some private time with Him. And other boys is down to the foot of the mountain. No doubt. They didn't know. They didn't have no idea, Miss Debbie, what was taking place up in that mountain. These old three boys right here, Peter, James, and John, was getting to see Him like nobody else saw Him. You know when you and I will become effective for the cause of Christ? When we begin to see Him like nobody else sees Him. Now notice, there's that personal invitation, but then there is a powerful illumination. We have that word transfigured mentioned here in the text. That word transfigured is the Greek word metamorpho, which we get our English word metamorphosis. You know what happens in the stage of metamorphosis, don't you? A worm becomes a butterfly. Y'all with me? Everybody all right? Everybody still awake? In that process of metamorphosis, a worm, something that is so undesirable, something that nobody wants around, woo, hallelujah, thank God, gets changed into something that is so beautiful. And thank God just magnifies the goodness of God. That's what happens in that process of metamorphosis. Thank God, friend. That's what happened to me when I was lost and undone without God. I was just an old, dead, dirty, rotten worm. But thank God. Thank God the grace of Calvary reached down to where I was at. Thank God and changed me, transformed me, hallelujah, this morning into something in the eyes of Him that is beautiful this morning. Some of you may say, preacher, you don't look like much. Thank God you're not looking at me like He's looking at me. Woo, hallelujah. I'm about to get excited. You don't see me like He sees me. Hallelujah. Anybody with me this morning? Thank God, aren't you glad that He don't see you like I see you, and He don't see you like the world sees you, and thank God He don't see you like your old buddies used to see you. Hallelujah. He sees you this morning through the blood of the Lamb of God. Thank God, aren't you glad that you've been changed today? Hallelujah. Not only can we apply it to that thought, but we also can apply it to the thought of what we're going to be one day. We're still robed in this old robe of flesh. But one day we're going to be transformed into the very image of Christ Himself. So now let's consider the text. And let's consider this thought again. They got to see something the rest of them didn't get to see. You with me? I want to get to experience some things. Whether you want to experience, I want to experience some things with Him and through Him and by Him and for Him. Well, there was a private invitation, but there was a powerful illumination. Remember how Moses come back down off the mount? After he'd been with God, the children of Israel had to veil him because he shone as the glory of God. I'm telling you this morning, friend, you get with God a while and you'll begin to shine. You'll begin to shine. You'll begin to shine. And the world will even have to take notice of it. All of us this morning should want to illuminate for the glory of God. I want you to notice in this powerful illumination, again, they saw Him in a way that nobody else had never saw Him. That word transfigured again means to transform. Let me give you three things about this powerful illumination, and I'll move on to my last point. Number one, they experienced His glory, not just His humanity, as we've already said. Not only did they experience His glory, but then think about the encouragement. The encouragement they received in this private time with Jesus. Well, preacher, how do you know they received encouragement? Think about this with me for a moment. Now, Jesus is telling him he's got to go to the cross and die. Now, he's been transfigured before him now, and they see him in his glory. Now, they still can't grasp all that, and you and I can't either.
We'd been now, we'd probably been a whole lot like them, or maybe worse. But not only did they see Jesus there, who else did they see? Moses and Elias. Elias is Greek for Elijah. Why, they'd been gone. Moses, he died there on the mountain. God buried him, performed his funeral, by the way. And Elijah was the one that was taken up in the whirlwind. Is that right? But now, in this place, on this mountain, in this its powerful illumination, not only do they see Jesus in His glory, but they see Moses and they see Elijah. Well, they've been gone for thousands of years. Hold on to your mule. As far as they know, that Moses is dead in the grave. Elijah, they just can't figure out what will happen to him. Because he went up in that whirlwind. But here they are. Here they are. Here they are. What are you saying, preacher? There's hope beyond the grave. There's hope beyond this world. There's a better place. There's a listen, and Jesus and Moses and Elijah are communing. Is that not what the Bible says? Read all three places in the text and you'll find that they're communion. Boy, they just said, man, could you imagine old Peter look over at James and say, boy, I'm glad we come, aren't you? Kind of like coming to church sometimes. I'm just glad I get to come. But when there is a powerful illumination of Him, man, how much sweeter it does make it. Not only in church, but whatever aspect it might be in your life. So not only do they experience Him in His glory, they get encouraged because there is hope after this life. Friend, this is not the end. We sing about it all the time. We preach about it all the time. And one day, for you and I, in this world, it's going to be over. Friend, if you know Christ today, or whether you do not know Christ, this life will soon be past. What you going to do then? Notice what Paul says to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Now go back with me to the mountain there. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and healing and performing miracles, and these disciples have seen it. They've witnessed it. They've been a part of it. Now Jesus takes them up into the mountain. And He told some of them before they died, they'd see the kingdom of God. What are they experiencing? They are experiencing it right before their very eyes. There's Moses, there's Elijah, and there's Jesus Himself transfigured before them. If this is all the place we have any hope in, friend, in Christ, we are of most men, all men, most miserable. But aren't you glad it's not that way? I've come to encourage you this morning through the Word of God. There is a better place. There's a better day. Hey, Jesus, Jesus knew them and they knew Jesus. How do you know? Because before Abraham was, He says, I am. He was there before Moses ever come on the scene. He was there before Elijah performed his, before he ever even performed his first miracle through the help of God. I'm telling you, He knew them, they knew Him, and what a time they must have had. Why? Because there was a powerful illumination. They got to experience what none of the rest of them got to experience.
Some Christians will go all through their life and never get to experience some of the special things God wants to do in you and through you because you don't desire that private time. They experienced His glory. Notice the encouragement. But then again, let's think about this, and I'll move on and be done. But think about again the things that we could experience through prayer and the power of His Word with a desire of some private time with Him. So we see the personal or the private invitation. We see the powerful illumination. And then thirdly this morning, let me give you this in closing. I see positive instruction. I love verse number 4. And verse number 3 gives us that text we were just talking about. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. With him. Oh my. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, I'd like to just take this for a text and preach it. Lord, it is good for us to be here. I know church stuff's boring. That Christianity stuff's boring. Not if you get along with Him. Peter said, man, this is good. Matter of fact, he said it's so good. You know, Peter always being the outspoken one anyhow. Just speaking his mind. Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. You know what Peter said? Peter said this is so good. You know what, Jesus? I'd like to come back and do this again. Amen. Huh? That's what I see. I don't know what you see, but that's what it's so good, Lord. It's so good to... Oh, my soul, I'm about to preach now. It's so good to be here. It's so good to be here, Lord. I'd just like to come back and do it all again. Oh, my. Wouldn't that be good if people come to church in that kind of attitude? It's so good to be here, preacher. I just can't wait to come back again. Oh, my. I better quit. I'm going to get bogged down right here. Let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for thee, speaking of Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now, why would Peter want to do that if he didn't have plans of coming back? He wanted to stay there a while. You get in His presence, in His glorified presence, and you'll want to stay a while. I've always said this, and I'll say it again this morning. If you ever get a hold of the real thing and the real thing ever gets a hold of you and you ever get to experience some of the real goodness of God and the grace of God and heaven come down, friend, you'll hunger for that for the rest of your life. Dead, dried up church won't work. Woo! While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Here's the positive instruction. See, Jesus wasn't going to build 3 tabernacles there for them to come and to camp there. Notice what happens, though, in the positive instructions. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Boy, there's some preaching right there. Go back to the Old Testament. What did God do? What did God do for the children of Israel? He overshadowed them. Huh? While that cloud by night would overshadow them and protect them, and then by day He would go before them. Whoo, Lord have mercy. Some good preaching in here. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. Not only was Moses and Elijah there, and Jesus was there, but God the Father was there. I'm telling you, what a time. What a time, brother. What a time. Man.
This is my beloved Son. You know what the Father's telling him? He's the one.
Man.
He's everything you're looking for. This is my beloved Son. Then notice what else he says. In whom I am well pleased. Then the next statement is for all of us. Hear ye him. Now think about this with me for just a minute. They have seen Jesus in his glory. Moses and Elijah's there. Which was a wonderful experience, by the way. But then God the Father puts it all back into perspective in this manner. He overshadows them. And he speaks to them. And said, what you need to take away from this is you need to hear what my beloved Son has to say. See, here's the problem. Thank you, Lord. We get caught up in experiences. Now, it's wonderful to have experiences. But if we're not careful, we get caught up in experiences and fail to hear what He has to say to us through His Word. Enjoy the experience. Hey, He let them enjoy the experience. But at the end of it, the Father says, make sure you hear what He has to say. People today are caught up in bright lights and music and experiences. And listen, spiritual experiences are wonderful if they are truly spiritual experiences. But if we get caught up in experiences and fail to listen, then we have failed to get the message that God has for us. You can hoop and holler and swing from the chandeliers all you want to, but if you fail to listen to Him, you can sing, oh, how I love Jesus, all you want to, but if you fail to listen to His instructions. Now, this is deep. I want you to get a hold of it. If you fail to listen to Him, you've missed what God has for you. There's a private invitation. Boys, let's go up the mountain. Without hesitation, without reservation, they head out. Boy, when they get there, oh, there's a powerful illumination. Woo, boy, they got to experience some things. But at the end of it, God wanted to make sure that they got some positive instruction. Look what happens to them after all that takes place. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. You hear a voice coming out of a cloud, the voice of God. You won't have to ask nobody to humble you. You'll be humbled. Huh? We've been looking in the book of the Revelation, and there where John saw Jesus in His glorified, he fell at His feet as dead. Listen, friend, you and I don't know that kind of power, and that kind of glory. But see, I want you to get this. Through all of that, God the Father and God the Son was wanting to teach these disciples to listen to Him. Now watch it. Verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them. Ooh, I'm glad He's still passing by and touching. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. That's the kind of relationship that the Savior. There's going to be times that fearful things come our way. But aren't you glad He can come by and touch you? And let you know you don't have to be afraid. Listen, with all they experienced up on that mountain, I'm sure I'd have probably been shaking in my boots too. My sandals, they had sandals on, no doubt. But they got to spend some private time with Jesus. How long has it been since you and I really spent some private time? Time of meditation, a place of solitude, a place of no distractions. A place where God just powerfully illuminated Himself to you. Now, you're not going to go around and see visions and all that. I'm not telling you that bunch of bull. Because we have the living Word of God. What He will do is He will illuminate Himself through His Word. That's the reason we need to hear what He has to say. What is He saying to you today? What's He saying to me? I love that positive instruction. We see the affirmation that God gives. We see the appreciation that He's well pleased. We see the application. And that's to hear and to heed what God has to say to you and God has to say to me this morning. Friend, if you don't know Christ today, I know one thing He has to say to you. You need to be born again. There is life after death, and we see it proved right here in this text. But the only way you can have life with Him is to know Him. And you and I as Christians this morning, has there been a time recently that there's just been a private time, a private place? Or is there that desire in our hearts, Lord, I want to see You the way You want me to see You. Lord, I want to experience You the way I want You, but most of all, Lord, I want to hear what You have to say, and then I want to heed what You have to say. As we stand on our feet all over the building, Brother Scotty, Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the living Word of God. Thank You for the privilege, Lord, to stand here in this place one more time. And Lord, try to relay the truths of the Word of God. Lord, it's not what I have to say that's important. But Lord, it is all important, Father, to what You have to say. Just as the Father spoke to those three men, Peter, James, and John, there on that mountain, and give them instructions that they needed to hear what You had to say. Lord, I pray that our ear would be bent and our hearts would be open and our hearts would be tender. Lord, to that which You have for us here this morning. Lord, You take the invitation. Lord, if there's somebody here that's never trusted You as Savior, I pray this would be the good day. That Holy Ghost of God, You would bring them to the place of repentance and acceptance of the Lord Jesus. Then I pray as Christians that each of us today would desire that private time, Lord, that we could see You, Lord, like nobody else sees You. Lord, help us today, I pray. Lord, You give the invitation. Lord, You speak to the heart. And I pray we'd just be obedient. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Every head.